The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune, looking ahead. So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman, Nicole?
All right, it's a Wednesday.
With Mistress Nicole.
Oh, why is it playing again? No, we don't want it twice. That was weird. Okay, we only needed it once. Thank you, Chris Isaac. And here we are. Welcome to a Wednesday. That was weird. All right, there's so much going on, so I'm going to need to speak fast. There is breaking news as we hit the air. Just to bring you back to what was supposed to be happening right around now. Well, let's back up to yesterday first, when Joe Biden, the president, said, well, maybe because we're not going to do raise the debt ceiling by reconciliation, maybe we can just carve out an exception into the filibuster rule for raising the debt ceiling. Well, Joe Manchin said, no, you won't. Joe Manchin said, I told you how I feel about the filibuster. To me, the filibuster is more important than the full faith and credit of the United States. Okay, no, he didn't say those words, but that's, I guess, what he's thinking, which makes no sense. So they were supposed to take a vote today. Chuck Schumer was going to put it on the floor of the House of the Senate again for a vote to let the Republicans filibuster it yet again and say, look at what the Republicans are doing. All right, I guess I should put the glasses down on the tip of my nose. Look what the Republicans are doing. They, you know, they're not willing to work with us. And so then Mitch McConnell said, I'll float a compromise. I'll just float a compromise. So here's where we are now. Bottom line is there will be no vote today on the debt ceiling. The Republicans will not filibuster it because there will not be a vote today. Instead, Mitch McConnell did give a temporary reprieve. What he said was that he would not stand in the way of a vote by the Democrats to raise the debt ceiling for a specified amount that will get them through November. So he won't suspend. He won't do this for a suspension of the debt ceiling, which is exactly what the Democrats did to help the Republicans when the former guy was in office three times, I believe. They just suspended it to let them off the hook. Mitch McConnell won't go there, but what he said was, well, I'll give you cloture. In other words, the Democrats would only need 50 votes to pass the debt ceiling raise temporarily. Thank you so much, Mitch McConnell. So you're not going to filibuster it as long as they follow your rules. This is some bullshit. And that's my word, but I'm not the only one who said it. Let me go down, read a little bit into the story. All right. So here's the bottom line. This is from Politico. McConnell is offering to let Democrats pass a bill to raise the debt ceiling into December, setting up a potential end of the year cliff, right? Because they're going to have to do this all over again come December. McConnell said, quote, to protect the American people from a near term Democrat-created crisis, we will allow Democrats to use normal procedures to pass an emergency debt limit extension. I know, I don't do a good McConnell, but he's so monotone and kind of mumbles with his mouth not moving. To pass an emergency debt limit extension at a fixed dollar amount to cover current spending levels into December. I know, I'm getting the mood, right? As far as the response, Bernie Sanders called it a, quote, step forward. That's Bernie being nice. Senator Mazie Hirono, who I think is my new hero, called McConnell's offer, quote, bullshit. What was that again? What was that? What was that comment again? Oh,
bullshit.
That's what it was. Yeah, she called it
bullshit.
Because it is bullshit. The bottom line is, we're not going to fall off the cliff next Thursday. That'll just happen in September. I mean, December. Sorry. December. Oh, my God. Yeah, he is too lazy to move his lips. That's why he, you know, if you're watching the video, then it's kind of like McConnell, because this is how he talks. Because he's got the turtleneck thing going on, so he can't really move his lips. So that's how he talks. All right. It's more a visual than a radio thing. Anyway, so that's happening. So we're not going to default for at least another month or two. So we got that going for us. All right. Well, that sort of brings us to today's show. I've got other things I can talk about, but I'm going to have to put them off till tomorrow, at least for now. We'll see. Maybe at the end of the interview, I might have a couple of minutes. But today's interview is too important. So I'm going to start by telling you a related story. So in the news today, breaking news story, an investigation by Reuters News. It's like, you know, Associated Press, but it's Reuters. And the headline on this Reuters Investigates special report is how AT&T helped build far-right One America News. I'm not kidding. And I promise you, this is related to today's interview. So let me just read to you from Reuters Investigates. One America News, the far-right network whose fortunes and viewership rose amid the triumph and tumult of the Trump administration, has flourished with support from a surprising source, AT&T, the world's largest communications company. A Reuters review of court records shows that the role AT&T played in creating and funding OAN, a network that continues to spread conspiracy theories about the 2020 election and the COVID-19 pandemic. OAN founder and chief executive Robert Herring Sr. has testified that the inspiration to launch OAN in 2013 came directly from AT&T corporate executives. Quote, "They told us they wanted a conservative network," Herring said during a 2019 deposition seen by Reuters. Deposition, so under oath. They only had one, the quote continues, which was Fox News. And they had seven others on the other side, the left-wing side. If someone could tell me seven left-wing news channels, please, because I haven't found one yet, but okay. But the AT&T told Herring that, and he said, when they said that, I jumped to it and built one. Since then, AT&T has been a crucial source of funds flowing into OAN, providing tens of millions of dollars in revenue, court records show. 90% of OAN's revenues came from a contract with AT&T-owned television platforms, including satellite broadcaster DirecTV. This, again, according to 2020 sworn testimony by an OAN accountant. Herring testified that he was offered $250 million for OAN in 2019. Without the DirecTV deal, the accountant said under oath, the network's value, quote, would be zero. So today's show is all about how right-wing media outlets, I call them propaganda outlets, are hurting us. They're hurting you, they're hurting me, but more importantly, they're hurting our parents. So, with no further ado, let me introduce today's guest. And I think you've met her before, but now you'll meet her again. Welcome to the show, Jen Senko. Actually, I should say welcome back to the show, because we've spoken before. It's been a while, but the occasion was the release of your movie, the documentary, The Brainwashing of My Dad. And now, 5 years later, you're releasing the book that goes with the movie. Isn't that kind of backwards? Don't people usually do the book first and then the movie?
I probably should have done the book first. But I was a filmmaker, and I had already done a couple political documentaries. And so I just love that format. And then, my editor said, okay, Jen, just throw everything in that you want you know, it'll, you know, we can't have a 3-hour movie. But so the book was kind of like the 3 or 4 hour movie, you know, but a little updated. And then the other reason why I wrote a book is because I felt like shouting what was going on to the world, and the film wasn't getting the attention that it needed. And I kept seeing all these authors interviewed on MSNBC or on NPR. And I was wondering, like, why don't they have me? This is so important. Or somebody from my team, I don't care. Matthew, you know. Well, so I said, okay, I'll write a book.
And it's an important story you tell. And yes, it is. It's a thing. This is, you know, when I mentioned, I went back and listened to an interview we did before in 2016, which right around the time the movie was released. And I was commenting that the people in the chat rooms were, because I have a few chat rooms going during the show, were all saying, that's my story. That's what happened to me. And I'll tell you what, now looking back, I think that's what happened to Donald Trump. Not that he was ever like a reasonable, smart, good guy, but he wasn't this right-wing, crazy nut job, and who regurgitates everything he hears on right-wing talk radio and Fox Not News, and then he turned into exactly that. And it's the classic symptoms that you describe in what happened to your father.
100%. I think you're spot on, Nicole. I've said that myself, because he started listening around the same time my dad started listening. He was a Democrat. I mean, I'm from New York. We
right,
remember.
Me too. Right. Yeah.
Well, he hung out at Studio 54 with gay people, and
he used to be pro-choice. He was pro-choice. He was a Democrat. He gave money to Hillary Clinton. All of a sudden, now he's right. Mr. You know, conspiracy theory. You know. Echoing the crap that they say. Here, I did this a few years ago, but I think you'll appreciate it. I made up a little sounder for Fox. It goes like this.
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
But worse than that, they not only make shit up, they lie to make things worse, it seems. So tell us, you know, briefly, what happened with your father? He was a Democrat. He was the nicest guy. He loved animals and kids. And then what happened?
Yeah, he was I would say he was like a prototype hippie, because he was like, you know, he believed in the do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and do your own thing unless it hurts somebody else. But what happened is my parents moved. He actually retired and then got a part-time job where he had a very long commute. And then to educate himself, because he always believed in education, he figured he'd tune in to talk radio. That's some education he got, right? It was Bob Grant. You know, he was a racist, sexist, the father of quote-unquote conservative talk radio. So, you know, he started changing then, like, just becoming, like, crankier and more judgmental. And then after he fully retired, he started listening to Rush Limbaugh. And then we started noticing really marked changes in him. And then especially when Clinton got in office. So he became involved in a cult, because he was all in. You know, he listened to the talk radio at all hours of the night. He did the emails. He got the snail mail. He was, you know, adored Rush Limbaugh. Yeah. He used to have a friend that they would meet at the McDonald's at, like, you know, 5:30 in the morning and go for a swim and gush about, did you hear what Rush said last night?
Oh, my God.
That was
like
that
the was hateful stuff he said, because that's what he said. He was all full of hate.
Oh, yeah. But, like, they were like two schoolgirls, like, just crushing on him. I mean, at the time, it kind of makes sense, because early on, there was a lot of social movements going on. And I think a lot of older white men maybe, you know, felt a little useless or a little disenfranchised, or would have had to reinvent themselves. And maybe they're not as introspective as some people are. Mm-hmm. And just like, oh, yeah, it's not my fault. It's the feminists. I mean, my dad got to a point where he actually was expecting my mother to wait on him, and he never had before.
Oh, my.
Yes, it was so weird. It's like, okay, here's my dad. Here's his body. But that's not him. Who is this guy? It was frightening.
And so you do in the movie and in the book, you show the transformation in your dad. But I got to back up a minute because you said his first, the first taste he got was Bob Grant. Okay, funny story. I was born in New York, moved to Florida when I was 11. I was a kid. Out of college, moved back to New York to do radio. First job I got was a producer at WMCA in New York. And I produced the Bob Grant Show. In fact, you'll appreciate this. Here, I'm going to play a little clip for you. This is from 1982, I think. Here we go.
6-6-0. A lot of people say, hey, what happened to Nicole? Well, you can find her. Only she goes by the name of Faye Nicole at the Baba. And she's making... No. Nicole Sandler is making a gesture, which is an interesting gesture because she's indicating that she's number one, but her index finger must be broken or injured because she couldn't raise the index finger. Instead, it was the finger adjacent to the index finger.
Because I gave him...
Very good.
I did this because he was messing with me, talking about, was it the Baba or some nonsense? Bob Grant was this raging asshole on the air. But you know what? He was a teddy bear off the air. It was an act. And that's how I knew that most of these people were an act. But he would like, get off my phone. And he'd hang up on people. And he'd, you know, he was the, but I was all of 21 years old. Yeah. And I didn't take crap from him. I survived him and I left. But when you say Bob Grant's like, oh my God. Yeah, well, I was there. So I get it.
Yeah.
And thankfully, that was the last right-wing talk personality I ever worked with. But back in those days, you know, WMCA was a talk station. So it had the crazy right-winger Bob Grant, but it also had Barry Gray, who was the liberal. It had the financial guy. It had the radio psychologist. It, you know, it had a news thing in the morning. So it was a little bit of everything. It wasn't you'd turn on a radio station and be bombarded over the head with fake news all day. That yeah. didn't happen. Until much later, until, you know, Ronald Reagan came in and did away with the Fairness Doctrine. And then Bill Clinton with the Telecommunications Act of 1996. Put the final nail in the coffin of the industry that I grew up in.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then 1 year after Reagan got rid of the Fairness Doctrine, Rush Limbaugh came on the scene and went national. And he understood, and now they're finally talking about it because of this Facebook information that's coming out about right. the algorithms.
Yep.
He understood that the formula for making people want to listen to him was getting them angry. You know, because anger is addictive. And mm-hmm. when I would first say that, people wouldn't believe that. Like, what do you mean anger is addictive? I would just watch my father. And I could see him like he couldn't wait to get like indignant and pissed off. And, you know, it's an excitement you can feel inside you. You know, endorphins come with anger as well.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's and, you know, so it was about, I mean, your father sort of morphed along with the changing of the industry, it sounds. So as the regulations were pulled back, as radio took on the formats, took on the position of the parties, which never was the case before, he got more and more sucked into it, right? So what's really messed up is that this kept going. Now, so we had the first major assault, I think, on our sensibilities was right-wing talk radio, Rush Limbaugh and all that. Then Fox, the growth of Fox, I have a hard time saying Fox and news together.
Oh,
Like
Don't say news.
Yeah. It's like I had a hard time saying president with the former guy's name.
Well, I couldn't.
I couldn't put the two words in the same
sentence.
Exactly. So I have a hard time with Fox and then, you know, the news word because they're not. But I don't know if you saw, there's breaking news today that we should have known was coming. There was a big investigation from Reuters. Did you hear about this? About AT&T and the role AT&T played in creating OAN?
I only saw that on Twitter.
Okay, let me share this with you because it's just breaking news this morning. One America News, the far-right network, who's, I'm reading from Reuters, the far-right network, whose fortunes and viewership rose amid the triumph and tumult of the Trump administration, has flourished with support from a surprising source, AT&T, the world's largest communications company. A Reuters review of court records shows the role AT&T played in creating and funding OAN, a network that continues to spread conspiracy theories about the 2020 election and the COVID-19 pandemic. OAN founder and chief executive Robert Herring Sr. has testified that the inspiration to launch OAN in 2013 came from AT&T executives. Quote, "They told us they wanted a conservative network. They only had one, which was Fox, and they had seven others on the other left-wing side." Really? What are they? Anyway, that's me. But back to this. "When they said that, I jumped to it and built one. Since then, AT&T has been a crucial source of funds flowing into OAN, providing tens of millions of dollars in revenue, court records show. 90% of OAN's revenue came from a contract with AT&T-owned television platforms, including DirecTV. This according to a 2020 sworn testimony by an OAN accountant." He testified, Herring, the chief executive officer, testified he was offered $250 million for OAN in 2019. Without the DirecTV deal, the accountant said under oath, the network's value would be zero.
Wow.
AT&T is responsible for OAN perpetrating this fraud, this conspiracy crap on the American people.
Yeah, I hope everybody switches if they have AT&T. I have a Credo for...
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah, for my cell phone, But that's really horrible. I'm glad that news is coming out.
You and me both, and what timing. So this is what greeted me this morning, and that is the height of irresponsibility. OAN is horrific. There's nothing factual about them, so they are doing exactly what messed up your dad. So let's, Jensenko, let's get back to your father, because this is stunning. So this is a propaganda effort aimed at a misinformation campaign.
Disinformation.
Disinformation camp, right. Aimed at the American people. This should be criminal. Look, they couldn't do this over the air. You can't put out fake information like this knowingly and call it news, because the FCC will stands in the way. But there is no FCC guidance over cable television.
Right. Well, there's very little FCC guidance anyway. That's why we need and why we're pushing for legislation, different bits of legislation.
So how bad did things get with your father? I mean, obviously you had a good relationship with him growing up. He was this sort of hippie kind of, you know, Democrat, kind, loving person. And you said his personality just totally changed.
Yeah. So it was bad because it pretty much divided the family, because once email came in, then, you know, from Rush Limbaugh, that was like a seed that sprouted deep roots. He got on every kind of email list. He got on all these other lists too, you know, giving. After he passed away, I found his check ledgers, because he kept everything, thousands of dollars to, you know, the judiciary, all these different
a judicial NRA. Watch and NRA. Was he ever a gun person before?
No. In fact, when he was in World War II, they took his gun away and they made him a medic. So, and then he didn't have the stomach for hunting, like some of his relatives would say, you want to come hunt? Oh, no. Yeah, no, he was never a gun person. But what I'm saying, he just got sucked into everything. And so he would, and then so he got sucked into this email pattern, and he would send the family, you know, 4 or 5 emails a day, and they were all the all of them. The basic umbrella was that they were bashing Democrats, like whether it was under the guise of immigrants or African-Americans or, you know, liberals. The main thing that I noticed, and that's when I said something funny is going on here, uh-huh, was to bash Democrats and make them seem awful and like traitors and cowards, and they were ruining America. So we would ask him, please, you know, stop sending these emails. Never anything personal, Nicole. Never a, hi, Jen, how are you doing? You know, how's it going in New York? Blah, blah, blah. Never. Or my brother that lived in Seattle, how's it going? You know.
So he didn't send personal emails. He just forwarded these ridiculous conspiracy rants, emails that we've all seen. Right.
Right. And he wouldn't listen to us. And then eventually, you know, first my big brother blocked him, and then my little brother blocked him, and then I blocked him, and it was destroying the family. And then my mom just started, she didn't have, I mean, she was a housewife, so she would research. She started researching stuff and sending him back, like, this is a lie. Wow. And here's why, and here's my source. Okay. So it was through my mom that, well, at first that didn't dent him.
Really?
That just made him more furious.
And so she's living alone with him because you and your siblings had moved out. You're gone. So it's just your mom and dad, and she's having to battle this craziness that's coming at him from the media?
Yeah. And one time when she was, I guess she was like somewhere in her 80s, she sent me this email saying, Jennifer, I think I want to move out.
Oh my.
Can you help me find an apartment? Daddy's driving me crazy. You know, like nobody could, anything would set him off. Like you couldn't have any kind of conversation. Like you talk about the weather and it'd be like, oh, climate change is a hoax. Anything you talked about, like, oh, that's really good food. No, organic is bull crap, but whatever. He was obsessed. This was who he was. And, you know, then I started noticing similar things happening to some friends of mine. And they would actually start saying the exact same thing he said around the exact same time. And this is, you know, with the emails and these kind of things happening, I'm like, wait a minute. There's something going on here. And it's not good. And right, it's not going to be good. And right now, what you said, you know, about what's happening in the country, this is a national emergency.
I agree.
And the president needs to be in on it, the real president, that's Biden. And they have to get Fox off of military bases.
Yep.
Because as fast as they're trying to deal with these extremists, they're making them. They're pushing them out. They're coming right out of the military.
That's right.
And even police forces. I know some police people that have written to me and said, well, guess what? You know what? In the stations that I've been in, they play Fox. I mean, it says news on there, and it's exciting, and it's colorful. You know, got all these angry people and all this emotion, you know, and it's telling people, this is the thing. People know the system is rigged. They know something's funny because, like with me, I grew up, you know, 50s, 60s, and my dad raised the whole family on his job, you know. And we had 2 cars. They were crappy, you know, they were pieces of junk. But
a family, you know, could survive on one salary, on the father's salary back then, yeah.
And on top of that, Nicole, my father paid for us to go to college.
Right.
Because he saved. He was able to save.
And college was more affordable then as well.
Oh, true, true, true. But anyway, people know that something's wrong. The system is rigged, but they don't know why or who's rigging it. All they know is that they've got the people who are rigging it telling them, hey, we're on to the conspiracy theory.
Right.
Pardon me. This is the reason. And they're lying.
It's a gaslighting. It's gaslighting. They're simply gaslighting the country. And what you said, Jen Psenko, is really important. The fact that they're playing Fox, this misinformation, disinformation campaign, this propaganda channel on military bases, in government offices, in police stations. This should not be the case. And there, I think there needs to be some kind of seriously, Congress should do, like they don't have enough else to do right now, but there needs to be an investigation into the disinformation campaign that's coming from these right-wing propaganda media outlets that no oversight.
Imagine if this was a foreign nation that was blasting disinformation, dividing Americans, creating extremists, armed extremists, encouraging violence. What do you think we do?
I think we'd take action of some sort, block them from the signal getting in here, put up sanctions until they stop. We'd do something. We wouldn't just let them keep going and you know, help them along, which is apparently what we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, this was a plan, 40 years ago for one party rule. excuse me. I have this little frog in my throat. So they did a lot of things, you know, they created think tanks and they funded them. But the biggest way, the way that they mainlined this stuff directly into people, you know, right into their arm is through media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happened in 1964 after Gold War loss. And, you know, they said like, hey, you know, we got this guy, Walter Cronkite, you know, he's kind of like just tells the truth and right. That doesn't make us look good, you know?
Yep.
So we have to start painting the media as liberal. Somebody once said, yeah, liberal has a
the truth has a liberal bent.
That's it. Yeah.
It seems that way because the lies are all right-wing conspiracy theories. You know, it's sort of the process of elimination. But, you know, we were talking a few minutes ago about the 1996 Telecommunications Act that Bill Clinton signed into law that really gave us the media landscape we have today. It's horrible. It did away with ownership rules and, you know, things that were necessary were in there for a reason. And I love that at the beginning of the book, you sort of lay out the history of telecommunications. And you talk about FDR signing the original Communications Act in 1934. And I just have to share this because this is where the problem comes from. You wrote, the Communications Act, the FDR signed the Communications Act into law in 1934 to avoid a monopoly on media and undue influence by any one company or person. This law regulated radio, telephone, and telegraph communications by limiting ownership and cross-ownership licensing. FDR had the foresight to be concerned about how much influence media could have on people, largely because he could see the alarming creep of right-wing propaganda going on in Germany. He believed consolidated media ownership could be dangerous for democracy. Oh my God. And there's more, but let me address this for just a moment, because what the Supreme Court just did at the end of the last session was basically unanimously agreed to do away with the FCC's ownership rules. And the 1996 Telecommunications Act had relaxed the original rules, which let one company, if I remember correctly, own one AM, one FM, one TV in a market. Of course, there was no TV when this first one was written, one newspaper. Now, from the last term of the Supreme Court, one company can own multiple AM, FM, and television stations in a market. I believe they did away with all limits, plus two newspapers. This was the reason for these ownership rules, was to have a wide variety, a diversity of ideas and opinions and voices. So you continue. You wrote, the Communications Act also determined that technology was an interstate good, like railways and highways, and should be monitored and regulated as such. To implement the Communications Act, the FCC was created. Their duty was to issue licenses and frequencies to radio operators and to bring order to the burgeoning new industry. They determined ownership by what best served the public interest, requiring diversity in ownership, political discourse, hiring, and programming. Companies broadcasting content considered obscene or profane could be penalized. And it goes on like that. You know, the things, when I was in college studying broadcasting, I had broadcast law, and I knew about ascertainment, where you had to go out into the community and ascertain the 10 issues that affected the community most, and then put in your public file proof of how you were addressing those issues that concerned the local market.
Was that the radio, the rule of the radio, or
That was part of the whole licensing procedure. You wanted to get your license renewed. You had to do regular ascertainment within the community and show how your broadcast station was meeting those needs of the community. And anybody from the public who wanted to come in and inspect your public file had the right to do so. Radio, back then, the stations were created to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity.
The public airwaves.
It doesn't exist anymore. All of that is just gone. They don't, as far as I know, they don't do ascertainment anymore. I think they still have to keep a public file, but there's nothing in it anymore because they don't even have to serve the community. They no longer have to have a studio in the city that the station is licensed to.
Yeah. There's a great documentary about this called Broadcast Blues by
Sue Wilson. I know Sue. Yeah. She's been on the show many times. I've seen her movie.
You've seen her movie, right?
Oh, yes. Broadcast Blues. Yep.
Yeah, that really explained really well how something locally was happening. Gas leak or some horrible toxic leak, and there was no real local radio.
Nobody there.
And they couldn't get the word out to people in the neighborhoods that were going to be really toxified, if
right.
that's a word.
You know, coming from radio, this was one of the things I love about it, is you do serve your community. But now the way radio works is everything is piped in. So mostly on weekends in these small markets that really need the local media presence, there's nobody there. And if it's a music station, their jocks are voice tracked from out of the market. They were done probably on Thursday to have them in place for the weekend. So any breaking news like, a gas leak or an oil spill in the Pacific Ocean doesn't get covered because there's nobody live doing the broadcasting, when it should be a no-brainer. That's why you have live disc jockeys or news people, so that you can react to things as they happen.
And I'm sure your listeners right now are going to themselves, asking themselves, well, why did they let this happen? Why did this happen? Well, first, it is like the frog in the
boiling water, right?
The pan, right? Mm-hmm. It just gets warmer and warmer and warmer. By the time it boils, they're like, oh, we're effed.
Yep.
Also, there was a lot of the fairness doctrine. They bashed the crap out of that. So there's you can't even say those.
It doesn't exist
words.
Anymore. It's gone. It's completely gone.
Yeah, but also it like the right wingers. If you say that, they're going to jump all over you,
right?
Because God forbid they felt like they were victims, even though 97% of talk radio is right wing. But I think that a lot of Democrats, they kind of got caught up in this tide moving to the right. One of the reasons was because the think tanks that were pushing these views out that supported, free market and all that. But the other one was the media and right wing media. So I think that they were almost like traumatized.
Mm.
You know, and that they acted like abused spouses, you know, like, I'm sorry, what else can I do for you? What else did I do wrong? Oh, you want to get rid of that rule? I'm sorry. I guess, gee, we've been overly protective. Ah, you're right. It's the market. It's the market. You know, and now we're at this point where it's a national emergency.
Yeah, well, it is. And so, you know, so I don't want to give away too much. I want people to read the book, and they can still see the movie, too. And actually, you get more information at thebrainwashingofmydad.com as your website. But the bottom line is, you were, you know, your dad died a few years ago, but you got him back before you lost him forever.
Yeah.
So there's a happy ending here. Not everybody is that lucky. How were you able to break the spell?
Well, in short, remove the media that caused it and replace that media. Okay.
So you were able to do it kind of surreptitiously where he didn't realize it was happening at first. And then, then the spell was broken though, it seems. And started coming back.
Like a hypothesis and like a scientific experiment. And to me, like so many people say, oh, these people that listen, they had to believe some of this stuff before they started listening. That's why they're attracted to it.
No.
No. That's not necessarily true. I mean, look at people who were in cults. Look at the people that were in the Jim Jones cult. Do you think that they thought when they were going into that, gee, I'd commit suicide for this guy? You know, people can be brainwashed.
Yes, they can.
And it's funny. I remember when I first named the film, you know, and I had one man who I'm totally grateful for now. He's since passed on, but he was a backer, and he said, I don't know if you should use brainwashing in the title. You know, it's so loaded. And I stuck with it, and I said, listen, this is what it feels like. I don't know if it's brainwashing or not, okay? I mean, that's why I have like the green and the animation and stuff like that. This is what mm-hmm. people are going to identify with. And then as I did the movie, as I did research and talked to neuroscientists about brainwashing, it's like, oh, hey, that's what really happened.
It is.
Because my mom used to call them brainwashed.
Well, it sounds that's exactly what it was. And that's why I said it sounds like it happened to Trump, too. And the story is not unique or even unusual. I heard it again. You've been on the program with me before. We've talked about this and listeners one after another. It's like that happened to me. That happened to us. That happened to my dad. That's our story. So
yeah.
I'm thinking, I don't know if you've gotten this book to anybody in Congress. But somebody, this is an issue. The fact that our media has been weaponized, the fact that there is, it's not just that it's conservative or right-wing talk radio or
we wish
or
it television. Were conservative.
Right.
I'm only conservative.
But it isn't. It's not a political, it's not an ideology. It is propaganda. And that's illegal. It's still illegal in this country. They should not be allowed to do this. They should not be allowed to call Fox News. Certainly shouldn't be allowed to call OAN or Newsmax News.
Right.
It's not conservative talk radio. It's right-wing hate talk radio. And there needs to be a designation, and I think there needs to be some regulations on it. And I would love to see somebody in Congress open up an investigation into the perversion of our media.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. So when you call your congressman or write your congressman or woman, you know, please, or you're like, you're in town halls, you have to bring up media.
Yes. And
they're all scared to media is like the third rail. They just don't want to touch it because, yes, it's a hot button issue because this is how the right has succeeded so well.
Yep.
With the media. So they are very defensive about it. But you know what? You have to fight.
But the other thing to keep in mind is the historical perspective. I mean, this is how dictatorships and authoritarian rule happens. You know, I used to say, I'd look at Italy and remember the story of Berlusconi. Well, Berlusconi, you know how he rose to power? He owned all the media. He who controls the media controls the government. It's right. That simple. And so there need to be better rules on ownership. I was stunned, and I was when the Supreme Court said, "Yeah, who needs no stinking ownership rules? That's fine. Unlimited ownership in a market doesn't matter." It does matter. And the other thing that stunned me was how little mention of that decision by the Supreme Court there was in the press. It's like I was the only one screaming about it.
Yeah.
Still, most people today don't know that they loosened that rule or basically did away with any kind of ownership rules. What you talk about in the book, in the original Communications Act, and how it, you know, these ownership rules were determined and how, you know, licenses were allocated based on diversity. And that just doesn't exist anymore. It's like a big opposite world switch.
Yeah, it's the reason why those rules were put there, just like with the Glass-Steagall Act.
That's right.
You know, after the Great Depression and the crash of the market and all the hysteria and what resulted in the Great Depression, the Glass-Steagall Act was put into place. Well, because the whole country was swinging right, you know, and being influenced and adored Reagan and all this, you know, Bill Clinton got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act. And then what happens in 2008? Boom.
That's right. We have another crash. And nothing has been done to protect us. Again, it's the, you know, and I hate to keep speaking in sound bites, but, you know, it's the inmates running the asylum. Fox is calling the shots. OAN is calling the shots. Yeah. We need some oversight. So, I mean, I hope you send the book out to some key senators. You still live in New York? You know, you got Chuck Schumer. I'd send it to AOC. I'm sure she knows more than anyone, obviously in the House, not a senator. But get it into the hands of some people and say, this is a real problem. The propaganda media outlets are brainwashing our people. And this is what we wind up with. And this is also how January 6th happened.
Exactly. There would be no January 6th if there were no Fox News, no Rush Limbaugh.
That's right.
I can guarantee you that. But what I am hopeful about, if I can mention it, though, is now, finally, I feel like not so alone. Well, thank goodness for you and what you're doing, too. But I've run into some grassroots organizations that are springing up that are making media their mission.
Good.
Like I met the DDAD, Defenders of Democracy Against Disinformation, and they're at stopdisinformation.org. Okay. They have three great campaigns going on. Do you mind if I say that?
No, please do.
And people can go to their website and find out more detail. But number one is Change the Channel. And what it is a nationwide effort to ask public places to kindly change the channel from Fox to anything else.
Anything. I do that. If I go in somewhere and they have Fox on the TV, I ask them nicely to change it. If they refuse, I tell them they lost a customer and I leave.
Right, right. I mean, Fox, that you can say Fox divides people.
Yep.
So what they have on their website, Dave and Aaron Ninehauser from Hear Yourself Think, came up with all these different scenarios of what you might come across when you're asking somebody and how you might do it. So they actually have little videos. They have all this information, and then they have leave behinds that you can print, cut out, and staple together and leave behind. Okay, so that's one. Number two is called Fix Fox Now, and it's a shareholder resolution to ask Fox to register as a public benefit media corporation. This would put obligation for truth over profit, and this will also help shareholders other parts of their portfolio, since most portfolios are diversified, and since Fox hurts so much, it would kind of help their portfolios. And so I know people that have actually become shareholders in Fox so they could push for these things.
Okay.
So, and then the third one is $2 for truth. It's a little civil disobedience. We're not pushing this campaign yet, but it's you switch to any non-auto pay method and subtract the $2 from your cable bill that goes to Fox every month.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, what are they going to do? You know, cut your cable?
Right. You can remove Fox from my choices. I do not want to pay to have Fox on my television.
Right.
But can we also deduct another two for Newsmax and another two for OAN?
That's a great idea. There you go. You're going to have to meet these people and talk to them.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And I just want to mention one more thing. I just recently found out about these grassroots groups, and I'm ecstatic. But also Rise and Resist.
Rise.
They have what they call a Truth Tuesdays, where they stand in front of Fox with signs that say Fox lies or, you know, Fox destroys America. They do this every Tuesday. They even know the cops, they bring them donuts, whatever. And next Tuesday, October 12th, I'm joining with them because I want to give them more recognition. And it's also going to be like a book promotion where I'll be giving away the book. If they'll earn it, they have to earn it. They have to either read aloud a chapter, like you did.
Right,
like
a section.
And I think I'm going to choose that as one of the things they can read. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You got it.
Or the other thing they can do is hold a sign on how Fox destroys America. We'll have several choices. So that's next Tuesday, October 12th. I think it's 1261, 1211, 6th Avenue.
Anyway, it's 6th
Avenue.
It's can't miss it.
48th, and it's in front of Fox from 9 a.m. to 1 o'clock.
That's great. Oh, I love it. I love it. Jen Senko, this is great. I'm so glad you wrote the book because, the movie was there and then it kind of disappeared. And I thought about you over the years because when I thought of Donald Trump, I would think of your book because I really believe this is what happened to him. But he didn't have a loving family around him to get him away from the harmful media to try to get his mind back. He's too far gone. It's probably addled with syphilis too, but that's a story for another day. I'm glad you got your dad back. Yeah. So there's at least you had that closure. You got to see your father again, who you loved. And now can try to help protect other families from the same fate, which is an epidemic at this point.
It is. I call it a plague.
It is.
It's as bad as COVID.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. But thank you for this. Thank you for sharing your story because it is a really, really important one. Anything I can do to help, I'm here. You've got all my contact info now. So, let me know. And I will definitely check out some of these groups and get them on the show. I think this is a more important issue than society recognizes. We need to make sure that people recognize it because you lived it firsthand, but it's happening all around us. And we need to stop. The media is supposed to impart facts and information, not misinformation and disinformation. And it shouldn't be used to quell an uprising or to spur an uprising, right? To organize a rebellion or a overthrow of the government.
And to create division and hate.
Which is what they're doing.
So there can be one party rule, God forbid, by Donald Trump.
Oh my God. I wouldn't think about it. All right. It's not Friday yet. I could really use a drink about now. Jen Senko, again, the book is The Brainwashing of My Dad. It's just out yesterday. Congratulations.
Thank you
for doing this. And I hope we'll talk again soon because, again, this is so important.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me, Nicole. This has been great. And thank you for what you do. And I don't know if I should mention this now,
but
the book image that you have up there is actually the old image.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. The image of what I have because the book they sent me is in advance. So that's the
right one. Yeah.
Oh,
that was last
year. Oh, I see. It's a different cover. I'm looking at it. This is the actual cover.
Yeah.
So ignore the one that's on the screen. This is what it looks like. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it until just now, but there you go.
There you go.
So don't look for that cover. Look for this cover and The Brainwashing of My Dad. We'll get it for you. And go to thebrainwashingofmydad.com. Jen Senko, again, thank you. By the way, you are on Twitter at Jen_Senko, S-E-N-K-O, if anyone wants to reach out. Thank
also
you.
At Brainwashing Dad.
And Brainwashing Dad. Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you again, and we will. We'll stay in touch.
Definitely. Definitely. Thanks, Nicole. Talk to you soon.
Terrific. Jen Senko, and I told you it was an important show, and we could have kept talking because obviously it's a topic that I'm kind of passionate about. So here we are. We got a lot of work to do. Yes, you can follow Jen on Twitter at Brainwashing Dad. Okay, we've got like just a couple minutes left. I need to share with you one more thing. I am on the warpath over, what's her name? Kyrsten Sinema. I do not understand this woman for the life of me. So she was on, you saw she was followed into the bathroom the other day by some activists or something. You know what? I'll say right off the bat, that was wrong. You don't do that. You leave people alone in the bathroom. They could have hung out outside the bathroom and, talk to her when she came out. That would have been an option. But really, you know, following her into the bathroom, just not a good look. So, but now here's the other part. When you are an elected official and you're on an airplane, guess what? You are, you're there. It's fine for people, constituents, to talk to you. And so when you ignore the constituents who come up to talk to you, it shows that you are fucked up. And so here's Kyrsten Sinema on an airplane this weekend being fucked up. And let me also say, being wholly inappropriate. Again, I'm no prude and I dress the way I dress, but I'm not a U.S. senator. She's a U.S. senator. Could she be showing any more cleavage? Oh, that's my name for the this video clip. I call it Cinema and Tits, ignoring a constituent on the plane. But so here's what transpired.
The Boston Constitution. Today, she and millions like me. Can I get a compliment from you?
She's ignoring her, just completely ignoring her.
All right, Senator.
Ignoring her. Meanwhile, all you see is the fucking cleavage. Could that shirt be any more low cut? And finally, the constituent, the girl, walks away. She was trying to ask her, I'm a dreamer, she said, will you support a pathway to citizenship? And the bitch just would not even look at her, let alone answer her. She wouldn't even look at her. I'm sorry. That's your job. Your job is to answer to your constituents. They're the reason you're there. It is astounding to me how disrespectful this woman can be. Absolutely fucking disrespectful. And the cleavage, Kyrsten Sinema dresses wholly inappropriately for her job. She makes enough money she can afford a wardrobe. Everything about the woman I find reprehensible. So anyway, that's it. That's the last thing I had to say for this day. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, check out The Brainwashing of My Dad. It's really worth the read. And if you have Amazon Prime, Prime Video, you can watch it over there. Okay? And please do. I really think the weaponization of our media is responsible for the mess we're in today. If not for Fox and right-wing hate talk radio, we'd be in a lot better position than we are right now. I really don't think we'd have any of the mess we have now. We'd have other problems for sure, but not the problems we're seeing. And we wouldn't certainly have had an insurrection on January 6th. This, I believe, is a direct result of the propaganda hate talk coming out of radio and television, and something's got to be done about it. All right. With that, we're done. Thank you for listening, everybody. Appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow. Howie Klein will be here. And then Digby on Friday. All right. So, you know, we got that going for us. All right. One more time, I will leave you with the news, and I will see you mañana. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
T-minus 12 days and counting until the U.S. defaults for the first time, tanking not only our economy, but taking down the rest of the world, too. That is, unless the Democrats can raise the debt ceiling before then. It should be, and used to be, a simple nonpartisan exercise. Raising the debt ceiling is just the government confirming that it will pay the bills for the spending they already approved. The Republicans, led by Mitch McConnell, are playing a dangerous game of chicken for no good reason whatsoever, except maybe to make the Democrats look bad? Priorities, Mitch. His strategy, such as it is to have the Democrats not only own the increase in the debt limit, not that that means anything, but to eat up as much of the Democrats' time and energy as possible to keep them from actually doing their jobs. So the Republicans are pushing the Democrats to again go through the lengthy and complicated reconciliation process. But the Democrats, well, actually Chuck Schumer, is insisting that they won't. Instead, he's bringing it up for a vote again today, Wednesday. Chuck Schumer perhaps delusionally thinking that he'll get 10 Republican votes to overcome their filibuster? So, if reconciliation is out of the question and the Republicans insist on using the filibuster to sabotage the economy, the Democrats are left with basically two options. One, mint the platinum coin, the easiest solution, or carving out a filibuster exception, or finally getting rid of the filibuster entirely. President Biden actually moved slightly on that issue on Tuesday, saying that there was a, quote, real possibility that they could do a carve out. Do note that if they choose what's behind door number two, the Democrats could get everything they've been working so hard so long for. Not only raising the stupid debt ceiling, but passing the Build Back Better Act and the so-called BIF, pass voting rights, and accomplish all the other priorities that have been sidelined because the Senate has been hijacked by undemocratic nonsense in which the majority does not rule. Welcome to Opposite World. Regardless, a cloture vote is set on the debt limit suspension Wednesday afternoon. It'll undoubtedly be filibustered by the Republicans, wasting yet more time with only 12 days left until we implode. By the way, the House is on recess, and the Senate is set to leave again on October 11th in just 5 days.
Come on, man.
Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen on Tuesday testified before the Senate Commerce Subcommittee on Consumer Protection, saying that the company's platforms, including Facebook and Instagram, harm children and spread misinformation and hate. Haugen, a data scientist hired at Facebook's Civil Integrity Unit in 2019, said that the company's leadership knows how to make Facebook and Instagram safer, but won't make the necessary changes because they've put big profits ahead of people. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg called the coverage of Haugen's claims misleading, saying it would be, quote, deeply illogical for Facebook to prioritize harmful content because that would drive away advertisers. He said that her assertion that the company prioritizes profit over safety and well-being is, quote, just not true, and that it was, quote, very important to him that everything we build is good and safe for kids. Okay. Good news for some people saddled with those horrific student loan debts. The U.S. Department of Education announced Wednesday morning major changes to their federal student loan forgiveness program. They say it could bring relief to more than 550,000 borrowers who work in government and nonprofit sectors. That includes around 22,000 borrowers who will automatically be eligible for student loan forgiveness without needing to take any additional steps. An agency memo suggests that it will, quote, restore the promise of the debt relief program through a series of actions that'll be implemented over the coming months. It could include offering a time-limited waiver authorizing, quote, all prior payments from student borrowers to count towards the program, including loan types and payment plans that didn't previously qualify for forgiveness. The memo said this waiver will continue through October 31st of 2022. So authorities believe they've identified the source of that oil spill off the coast of California that has closed beaches and threatened wildlife. They say the source of the spill that has spewed now up to 144,000 gallons of crude oil into the Pacific Ocean is likely a 13-inch cut found in a 4,000-foot section of the pipe that had been pulled about 105 feet to the side. A preliminary report indicates that this tear could have been caused by an anchor that hooked the pipeline. Just incredible. And finally, for the first time in 25 years, the former guy has fallen off of the Forbes 400 list of the richest people in America. According to Forbes, Trump missed the cutoff by about $400 million. And one final period on the end of that sentence? It was apparently Trump's own financial decisions that did him in. Forbes saying that if he had put his money into an index fund, he could have amassed about $4.5 billion by 2021. Instead, he lost about $2 billion. What a shame. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.